Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is your Messiah King. And we pray that you would give us grace this morning as we listen to his words. Help us to engage with your truth, to have hearts that are open. We might learn more of him and see the significance of who he is and what he has done. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, I wonder if you've heard about the homeowner from East Yorkshire. In his final spell before retirement, he had to go to Australia for several years with work and decided to let out his property in his absence. Now, he found some people who wanted to live in his house, and he set up an agreement which gave them full use of his home. The house had more space than the new residents could possibly need. It was fully furnished with tasteful blend of new and antique furniture and fittings. There was luxurious carpeting and laminate flooring, designer wallpaper and expertly planned lighting. It had state-of-the-art double glazing and super-efficient heating systems, a 50-inch 3D plasma TV with full Sky movies and sports packages. There was even air conditioning for those few days a year when things get very hot and humid. The grounds of the property were beautiful and well set up for different leisure activities, and even the opportunity to grow your own if the residents fancied some gardening. Well, the weeks and the months went by, but the residents failed to pay any rent that they'd agreed. The owner patiently continued to provide first-rate facilities, but he asked his agent to pop round and to chase them up. Well, when the agent knocked on the door, the residents gave him a black eye and sent him packing with nothing. Well, the owner was rather hurt by this, but he decided to send another agent. This time, the residents dragged him inside, dealt out a more thorough working over, and with some rather choice expletives, told him to clear off without any rent. Well, the owner, now realising that things were really quite awkward, sent a third agent. This time, the residents threw him out onto the street, but only after assaulting him so severely that the injuries he sustained left him needing weeks of hospital care. Well, the owner, now extremely distressed, wondered what on earth he was going to do. There he was, living in Australia, and despite all his generosity, the folks living in his house were completely abusing his kindness. Well, then he had an idea. Instead of just sending his letting agent round, he would contact his son, who only lived a few miles from the house. Now, the owner missed his son, living on the other side of the world. Indeed, his separation had made him realise just how special his son was to him. But the owner thought to himself, if I send my son to see the residents, surely they'll treat him with more respect, given his direct connection to me. But when the residents saw the owner's son coming down the driveway, they got together and agreed amongst themselves how they would handle the situation. This is his son. He's likely to be the main beneficiary in the will, and the owner's not getting any younger. Let's remove him from the situation, and then we shall be able to have the house for ourselves, without the owner on our back. Well, when they opened the door, the owner's son was there, and the residents attacked him in a crazed frenzy. After a few minutes, they dragged his corpse and left it in an out-of-the-way place just over the property boundary. Now, what on earth would you expect the homeowner to do in the face of such an experience? Well, you can be sure that he will expect the residents to face the full force of the law and be severely punished. And he will arrange for his house to be let to others. Well, I'm sure by now you've realised that is an attempt to try and retell in a slightly more contemporary way Jesus' striking and shocking parable of the tenants in the vineyard, that which we read from Luke chapter 19. It's on page 1059 if you want to have it there in front of you. Jesus tells the story as he is in Jerusalem, just after the first Palm Sunday. Jesus had ridden into the city on a donkey, and as we read at the start of the service, he began to rejoice, and the people began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they'd seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But we also hear that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Well, then we hear about Jesus being moved to tears as he looks on at the city of Jerusalem. And he realizes that the people are rejecting God's love through him. And then we hear of his righteous indignation at the misuse of the temple. By chapter 20, where the parable is recorded for us, Jesus is still in Jerusalem, still in the temple, and he's challenged by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. And it's these religious leaders who seem to be the people that Jesus primarily addresses as he tells his parable beginning in verse 9. Now, in Jesus' original, as we read in verse 9, a man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants. Now, as we heard from our Old Testament reading in Isaiah, written hundreds of years before Jesus, a vineyard was a well-known image for the people of ancient Israel, God's special Old Testament people. So we read Isaiah 5 verse 7, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting." So Jesus is clearly speaking of something of how God views his Old Testament covenant people. God is the vineyard owner who gives many, many privileges to the tenants or the residents in our retelling. He gave a beautiful world and his personal care and protection in a close relationship. And yet the people so often turned away from God, failing to bear fruit as God's vine. But God patiently kept sending servants. Jesus speaks of three in his parable. It's meant to give the idea that there are several. These are prophets and messengers like Isaiah, from whom we read. Time after time, God's word came to the people, reiterating his love and calling the people back to himself and warning them of the dangers of ignoring him. Then, with powerful poignancy, Jesus says, after the rejection of the three servants in the parable, verse 13, "Then the owner of the vineyard said, 'What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him.' But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Let's kill him so that the inheritance may be ours.' And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him." Now, coming from the mouth of Jesus, these words are truly extraordinary. Jesus, the one that Luke in his gospel makes clear, is himself the Son of God. Indeed, the one who, when he was baptized, was confirmed by a voice from heaven describing Jesus as my beloved Son, the exact phrase he uses in the parable. Even when God sent his much-loved only Son to reveal himself in order to re-establish connections with his rebellious people, even then God's initiative is spurned. And worse, he's not just ignored, but he's put to death. Now, of course, the plot of this story has in different ways been repeated many times since. In general, is it not true that God has given all the peoples of this world so much, from a planet that can meet our physical needs, but we fail to share its resources, abusing it and its maker? Is it not true that so often people idolize created things rather than worshipping the Creator himself? Is it not true that so often God's word, recorded for us clearly in the Bible, is not taken seriously? And that extends to the way that his son is treated. And does this not relate in some way to our own geographical nature in some ways too? We've received so many blessings, often as a result of our Christian heritage. we've been spared invasion by hostile opponents, protected from damaging philosophies and ideologies. We're still one of the richest countries in the world, and yet increasingly, it seems, we are ignoring God's good word of truth about human lives and relationships, about how we treat the vulnerable, and how we should be thankful to God for the good things that we enjoy. And then, of course, individually, we have so much, and yet so often we fail to center our lives on God and the gift of his Son. Well, do you remember the words that Jesus concludes his parable with? Verse 15, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them, those who ignore his servants and kill his beloved son? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they, that's the religious leaders who presumably realized that this story was told against them, heard this, they said, surely not. But Jesus looked directly at them and said, what then is this that is written in the Old Testament Psalm 118? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Jesus, somewhat similarly to Isaiah, here speaks words of judgment. As the original hearers heard it, Jesus was warning that rejecting God's Son would mean that they would no longer be part of God's vineyard merely because of their history. It will be taken away and given to others. And everyone who hears these words, whatever their background, is reminded that if we continue to reject God's loving message through his servants and reject his love offered through his beloved Son, well, they will find that Jesus, now likened to a stone in a building, will, as we say in the Creed week by week, return to be the judge of the living and the dead. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Now, these are very clearly serious words. And as we approach Easter, we remember what happened to God's Son. So we cannot escape this reality. Rejection of Jesus has serious consequences. But as we hear of right and just judgment, Jesus' words also point us to the way to escape the judgment we deserve and instead to receive extraordinary love and kindness. In the parable and Jesus' explanation, some, it is true, are removed from the vineyard. But there are, verse 16, others who will be able to become part of it. Jesus, who according to the Old Testament psalm, thanks very much. Well,